everyone. I'm Jensine Bard, and welcome to Testimony, where truth is told, lives are changed, and hope is given. Revelation 12:11 tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, a testimony of your story for His glory.
She was adopted and raised by Christian parents, went to a Christian high school, graduated from a Christian college. So why then did she need deliverance from demons? Was it the birth parents that rejected her, or the abusive marriage that threatened to end her life? Here to talk about this and so much more in part one of our two-part conversation today is director and co-pastor of River of Life Ministries, executive director and president of Home Ministry Fellowship, television producer, speaker, evangelist, musician, and my dear friend and honor indeed, Dr. Rosemary Barnes. Rosemary, welcome to Testimony.
I am so happy to be here.
Rosemary, it is so great to have you in studio today. You truly are a living, breathing example of one who has overcome so much. But in the process, you've also accomplished much for the kingdom of God, yourself, and your family. You've traveled all over the world. You've been used by God greatly. But your beginnings were not so great. So for part one of our time together today, Rosemary, can you briefly share how you came to faith in Jesus Christ and what you would soon discover after finally meeting your birth parents, how that affected you and your need, as you put it, to receive intense deliverance and the freedom you experienced from that? Rosemary, please tell us your story.
First of all, I want to say that I was raised by wonderful godly parents who spoke of God a lot, even at the dinner table and the devotions. My earliest remembrance of being a Christian, I was 3 years old because I was already saying, I'm going to be a teacher and a missionary. And the third one was about orphanages. That one hasn't happened yet. So it was early on that I loved the Lord. But by the time I began to reach puberty, that's when some of the dark signs began to manifest in my life. I began to feel intense rejection. I began to reach out to guys in an inappropriate way, did way too much kissy facing, starting at age 10 already. And I realized something was wrong. And all through my, even at the Christian school, kids would tell me that I was wild, and I'd wonder, what does that mean? And it wasn't until after I was so hungry to find out more about the Lord that then I learned about deliverance and that the things I was manifesting were demonically inspired, and I needed someone who had faith to do spiritual warfare in my life, to come against those forces and cast them far away from me. On the way to that, I got involved in the occult, and it had nothing to do with my adopted parents. My birth mother, when she was carrying me, had gone to a fortune teller to find out whether or not to keep me. My birth father, wow, even at his death in the newspaper, it said he was known for his many women. He was married several times and had many girlfriends. I believe sometime we are born with spirits that have a destiny for our life. But let me say this. At the same time, I know that I know God had His hand on me, and I don't want to give the impression that demons overtook my life all these years. It was like a neck-to-neck race. Even after I was in San Francisco as a hippie, I go home back to my room, get on my knees after having smoked dope and been with Lord knows who, and say, oh God, please help me to be a better Christian. It was like this constant battle. And that was when I was 21 in San Francisco. But then when I got home, that's when things began to get really dark in my life, the spousal abuse and just a feeling of desperation. That's when I called out to God and wanted something deeper. And that's when He introduced me to the charismatic move. the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then people that recognized the spirits that were warring against me.
So being a Christian, being raised a Christian, going to a Christian high school, going to a Christian college, this obviously didn't do it for you. So what you're telling me, Rosemary, is that there was something missing in all of that that you had not found, because clearly you're telling our listening audience that it wasn't enough. You strayed away from God, and these demons followed you, and you were looking for a way of escape and hope and help. So back to your birth parents, when they went to that psychic to find out if they should keep you or not, what was your mother's answer, and how did that affect you?
What's strange is the enemy said something really stupid. He said, through the psychic, let this child have a channel into the world through you. And in other words, the advice was to keep me, which I think is kind of hilarious, because since then I've done so much to build the kingdom of God. I guess the enemy figured that he'd get me.
Yeah, and he didn't. You know, I'm reminded, Rosemary, of the scripture that says what Satan means for evil, mm-hmm. to destroy us, God will turn to his glory. And mm-hmm. that's one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the program today. Rosemary, I remember being in your church with your husband and co-pastor many years ago. I clearly remember the anointing, which the Bible says breaks every yoke of bondage. I remember you flowing in the gifts of the Holy Spirit as you played your trumpet, and the prophets that came forth to speak words of encouragement to the congregation. My husband and I were one of them. Those words actually came true for us. And now here we are again, years later, and God has sent you literally all over the world with this message of deliverance and healing, because truly, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So we have a few minutes remaining in part one of our two-part conversation today. For those that are trapped in what they feel is an impossible situation, no matter how much Bible they read, no matter how much they go to church, no matter how much their best friend tells them they're okay, they know deep inside they're not okay. They're addicted to this. They're addicted to that. They're having nightmares. They can't seem to get a hold of the love of God or the life of God. Rosemary, what do they need to do?
You know, God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And when you cry out to God, literally cry out to God, I am desperate, help me, God has a way of sending people into our life that address just what we need. It might not happen the same month you start crying out, but he will. When I was thinking of suicide and cried out for a Christian friend, supernaturally, God put us together. And she and her husband were the ones that ministered the deliverance. God is in control. And as you read his word and begin to know him and love him, he will orchestrate your footsteps to a deeper level of relationship with him than maybe you've ever seen in any local church. Because a lot of people, let's face it, don't want to go that deep into the supernatural works of God. But God will show you the path if you ask him to. He did me.
You know, I'm reminded of a man of God that is known all over the world. Perhaps you know him, Derek Prince.
Oh, yes.
And yes. God asked him one day, Derek, do you want to go deeper? Mm-hmm. And Derek's answer was yes. And God thrust him into the deliverance ministry for years. And he ended his life joyfully and victoriously in Jerusalem. But still, because of his message, his teachings go on today all over the world. Rosemary, in your travels as a pastor, you actually teach and train people in the ways of the Lord. You teach them how to get deliverance. For our remaining moments here today, can you give our listeners some practical steps to getting deliverance in their own lives?
First of all, you have to find out what's flesh and what's demons. And when you fast and pray and read, and things get even worse. A lot of times it's not flesh you're dealing with, it's demons. And once you ascertain that it is a spirit, you might want to fast again and get with a friend, and literally the two of you start to, if you can't think of the name of that spirit, start to talk about what it does and say, "You spirit who causes me to fly off the handle and become enraged. I don't want you. Get out of my life in the name of Jesus." Address it as the disciples would address certain spirits in the New Covenant. Read the New Covenant writings, just looking at all the deliverance, and build your faith in the fact we have authority over those spirits. There's also a book by Don Basham, one of Derek Prince's friends, named Deliver Us from Evil. And maybe you can still get it on Amazon or somewhere. And it's, he literally puts out beautiful steps. And when my friends ministered deliverance to me, I think they had just read the book and they pretty much copied everything they had read in it. I was, like I said, I was a guinea pig for them. And Don Basham is wonderful on that. Derek Prince, too.
Praise God. And would you say one has to be willing to want to be delivered?
The reason I'm going to say yes is because if you don't want to be delivered, if the spirit does leave, the Bible says, if you haven't filled that place up, say you're depressed and you don't fill it up with that garment of praise for that spirit of heaviness, you're subject to get it right back again. So if you don't begin to truly long for, be hungry and thirsty after God, then you might not be motivated to keep the deliverance once you get it.
So sometimes, would you say a person has to get to the very end of their life and all that they can do in their own power and might? And if someone listening today is at that particular place, is that a good place to be?
Absolutely. You're on your back. The only place to look is up, and that's where your help's going to come from. The Spirit of God, our Heavenly Father. Yes, that's a good place. If you're at that place right now, stop being stubborn. Say, "I give up. I can't do this. Father, please help me in the name of Jesus." If you're not a believer, you can tack on, "God, if you're real, please help me." You can tack that onto it. He'll help you. As a matter of fact, a friend of mine was just sharing her testimony with me, and she told me there was a day she was going to kill herself. She had it all planned out. And just at the last minute, she decided to say, "God, if you're real, show yourself to me." And she said it was like a glory cloud came in her kitchen where she was going to do this. She said that her whole body felt warm, and she knew that God's presence was there, that he loved her, and all that thought of suicide left her because God indeed made himself real to her. He can do that for you as well.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Dr. Rosemary Barnes, missionary and pastor to the nations, who will be back with us next week to share more of her incredible story of overcoming and how you too can overcome any challenge or life-threatening circumstance by the grace and power of God's Holy Spirit. Rosemary, thank you so much for being with us today. I look forward to having you back next week on Testimony.
I'm excited about the next one, too.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, JensineBard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony. Last week, you heard the amazing story of one woman's triumph over the demonic influences that plagued her life as an adopted child, a Christian, and the unfolding of it leading to an abusive marriage that could have ended her life, but God. Is spousal abuse on the rise? And if yes, why? And how does one go from that to a successful career in life, in ministry, and in marriage? Here to share more of her incredible journey is pastor of River of Life Ministries, Grand Rapids, Michigan, executive director and president of Home Ministry Fellowship, television producer and host of the weekly River Reflections broadcast, regularly viewed on TCT Television, Ask the Pastor, which goes out to over 160 nations. She is also a musician, ministering in word and music, a wife, a mother, and so much more. Would you welcome back to Testimony an honored friend, Dr. Rosemary Barnes. Rosemary, welcome back to Testimony.
Thank you. I'm enjoying this.
Well, it is great to have you here, and I am so enjoying your incredible story. In part one of our conversation last week, you touched upon a part of your life that literally set you free to do what you are doing today, as the scriptures tell us, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Now, for part two of our conversation today, I want to touch upon a subject that is making the headlines all too frequently these days, and that is spousal abuse. As you personally suffered in your own life, in your first marriage, but subsequently overcame, and beautifully so. So, Rosemary, please begin to tell us that story, how you got free, and then bring us up to date on your ministry, your life's work, and any last words of encouragement. Rosemary, please tell us more.
Well, in last week's program, I mentioned that as an adopted child, I came with some demonic influences trying to destroy my life. And one of them that was very strong was a spirit of rejection. The man that I married the first time and stayed with for 7 years, he too was illegitimate and suffered from rejection. When you talk about spouse abuse, I think sometimes a man, it's a control issue, wanting to make sure he has that woman under his thumb and she doesn't go anywhere. That's what generated a lot of the abuse. And in his case, there was also some, he needed deliverance from demons as well, some paranoia, some fears. And I'm not trying to give him a pass for hitting me or putting a gun to my head. However, I will tell you, even though I left him and ran across the country with my child, I still love him, not as a husband, but as somebody that God loves and I care about. And the husband I have now, who has been extremely instrumental in my continuing to walk in liberty and deliverance, because he's not at all threatened by my calling and my strengths. In fact, he's my main cheerleader. He's the one that told him to get a doctorate when I was 55 years old. But we prayed for my ex over and over, and he's now a Christian. You ask about, is it more prevalent? I think it's just being more reported. When I was being abused, now in those 7 years, he wasn't abusing me all the time. He abused me quite a few times, and when he did, it was life-threatening. But at that time, some Christian friends took me in, but I was a social worker at that time. There weren't facilities to house abused women at that time. There was not a reporting and awareness. In fact, a woman who is being abused, number one, she's fearing for her life already, so you don't go around telling everybody. Number two, usually when that man goes to hitting on you and yelling, the next day, at least it was in my case, and I've heard others, the man is so sorry, and you know what? He means it the next day. And then for a while, there's this period of peace and love and better than ever, and it seems to accelerate again to another episode of abuse. And every time the woman is thinking, maybe this is the last time. I'm going to tell you right now, sister, if that man hits you at all, I don't mean he puts a little pat on your arm. I'm not talking about that. It gives you a little shove. You got black eyes. He puts a gun to your head. He's slapping you in such a way. You are in pain. You know that this is serious. He's just lost it. If he's hitting you at all, honey, the first time he does it, find you a shelter or an abuse center. Have him get counseling or whatever. Unless he gets into Christ and he gets delivered, he's going to do it again and again. Now, I can't say that's 100%, but I can say it's so frequent that you need to get on out of there. Don't let your girls see that example of taking it. And yeah, it is prevalent, and I believe it's always been prevalent. I'll tell you one more thing. When a man has been rejected by his mother and father, when he gets married to a woman, he's part looking for a wife and part looking for a mother. But then when you start to act like that mother, he resents it. And here comes the control. It's an endless cycle. I don't have much time to explain that deeper, but all I'm saying is little boy's got mommy at home in the form of his wife, and then he wants girlfriends on the side.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Dr. Rosemary Barnes in part two of our conversation today. We're talking specifically about spousal abuse, what causes it, what signs to look for, and how you as a Christian or non-Christian can be set free from it. Rosemary, on that note, what are some of the signs women need to look for before they get married, when everything on the outside looks right?
Quick temper changes. Everything's going along just fine, and all of a sudden, the person you're with, that's male or female, folks, not just men, can just quickly become enraged. And if they hit you at all or abuse you at all, that's one of the first things. Second thing, boundary issues. Say you're a student and you really want to study. You're looking to be somebody, but the person crosses all into your space and tries to control you, will not let you do what you're called to do, but wants your time and attention. They try to consume you and get control over you. Like I said, control is a huge issue, and they exercise intimidation through anger and many put-downs, verbal abuse. You feel bad about yourself when they're done with you. There's not a whole lot of praise and encouragement and compliments with a lot of these people that are abusive. And you find yourself being the one trying to please them. And suddenly you realize, but they're not putting in hardly any effort to please you. A relationship is mutual. And Christian ladies, the man is supposed to be somebody, if you marry him, that he lays down his life for you as Christ laid down his life for the church. Instead, when you're dealing with an abusive, now I'm with men again, man, it's like, let's both love me. It's not about him laying down his life for you, and then in turn, you love him so much that you just want to serve him and fit in with his plans. No, it's more like, let's both pay attention to you and your needs. The abusive person gets to be the center of all the attention and power.
So, Rosemary, on that note, how important is it for believers to be equally yoked in marriage, and were you?
In my first marriage, we were both equally backslidden. In the second marriage, we both equally crazy in love with Jesus. And it's extremely important. And let me say this, never mind their looks, look for heart first, be a friend first. Because somebody can say, I've seen girls smitten with a guy and say, oh, he goes to church. And I'm going, so what? Does he pray with you on your dates? Do you read the word together? Is he dwelling in Christ? That's what's important, not whether or not he's a deacon or whether or not he talks the Christianese. It's whether or not he's truly in Christ, and it's vitally important. Those that walk in the Spirit are going to walk in love and joy and meekness and long-suffering and gentleness and patience. That's what you need in a marriage. Those that are walking in the flesh, well, look in Galatians. You see the list, and that's how we're selfish and angry and, you know, just make fights and contentious. And you got to be both in the Spirit in order to have love and peace.
And that leads me to my next question, and I say yes and amen to everything you just said. How important, then, is the baptism of the Holy Spirit that God's Word talks about, and getting into the Word in strengthening and establishing a healthy relationship, and ultimately a marriage coming out of that relationship?
You know, my answer might surprise you, because I'm going back in my mind to my adopted parents in the Dutch Christian Reformed Society that I was raised in. When we receive Christ, we become the sons of God, and we begin to walk in the fruit of the Spirit as we abide in Him. It's that fruit that really glues the relationships together. Now, having said that, for those of us that are Spirit-filled and believe in the prophetic and deliverance and healing and praising. I know when I got baptized in the Spirit, I became much more able to say, oh, I love Jesus so much. Whereas the people that I knew had the fruits in my hometown, there wasn't that bold expression. So if you get married and you're baptized in the Spirit, but your spouse is not, you're going to have the fruits there if you're both Christian. You know, all that love I was talking about. But when you come to talk about walking in His power and the passion and the enthusiasm, it gets a little old dumbing down for your partner because you're all enthused and you look over at them and you lost them somewhere way back when you start to rejoice and get really involved in the kind of dunamis power that comes along, spoken of in Acts. You shall have power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. There he's talking about the baptism, whereas as many as have received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. That's the authority to walk in his nature. So your marriage will work if you're both Christians, but boy, I'll tell you, it's a whole lot more interesting with ministry and devotions when you both have the baptism.
Rosemary, I can see clearly now why God has sent you to the nations of the world preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is so powerful and so needed, as marriages are in trouble today everywhere you look. Last question as we close out our time together. How do you and your husband, Robert, work together? And what would you say is the one thing above all that you can give credit for keeping it together?
We both love Jesus, number one. And number two, we share devotions together 5 times a week.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Dr. Rosemary Barnes of River of Life Church in Michigan. You can learn more about Rosemary and her ministry by connecting with her on Facebook or contacting the church directly or at my website, www.jensenebard.com. Thank you for making the trip to share your wonderful story of redemption with us today, Rosemary. God bless you and continue to mightily use you for His glory. It's been a joy.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensenebard.com. That's one word, JensenBard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony.